It's okay to kill monsters, isn't it? Hoy there, chummers, and welcome to the Hard Knock Sorority Podcast. This is a 4th edition Shadowrun actual play, GM'd by myself, Paul, and played by Veronica as Cecile, a.k.a. College Girl, Kat as Deandra, Val as Ollie, a.k.a. Boxer, and Beth as Grace, a.k.a. Nightingale. This is episode 11 of season 2, and it features an existential crisis for Grace, a dubious solution proposed by Deandra. Cecile rolls dice to water plants, and more secrets are revealed to the team. There's a meeting with the mysterious fixer Prokop, and a cliffhanger finale. In other Shadowrun news, Mr. Johnson has opened up the Arcology to visitors again. The Arcology podcast, that is, with new episodes. Sinless has started season 3 with an interesting twist, so here is their promo. Cheers.
Time together as a family has never been more important. To us, it's such a relief to see Allison healthy again and back to her old self. We missed her so much during her care after the incident. Thankfully, we did something simple years ago to protect our family in case the worst did ever happen. We signed our entire family up for Doc Wagon's Premium Platinum Plus Protection Package. Protect your family's future by simply contacting the award-winning team at Critical Hits now and simply watching or listening to one of our videos or podcasts. Our associates make it easy to apply, and once covered, your family will receive prompt and high-quality medical care within minutes of an incident, anywhere in the world. If you're diagnosed with a terminal illness or pass away with an active Premium Platinum Plus membership, you'll receive 1% cash back of the premiums you paid during the first 6 months. You can't put a price on your family's health, so get Doc Wagon today. Health and wellness protection from a company you can trust. For a quick quote, visit Sinless on your preferred podcasting app or search at Critical Hits 42069 on YouTube. Doc Wagon makes no guarantees of prompt or effective healthcare coverage. Some injuries or ailments may not be covered under your policy. Doc Wagon reserves the right to charge you for any and all treatments necessary but not covered by policy. Additional fees may apply. Doc Wagon, we're here to help.
We left the team. They had just taken out the truck that was transporting the evidence from the Warehouse Alliance place. And I don't... Did you actually take physical evidence, or was it all just on camera type stuff?
We took samples.
Okay, so you took samples.
I took notes about this.
You've got video, too, that sort of corroborates, because you've got the codes on the container that match the codes that you took images of while you were in the warehouse, and also matches the files that you took from the server themselves.
Yeah, in my notes I wrote down got samples, so we got samples.
All right, we also spilled the entire truck all over the road.
Yep.
Yeah.
You spilled the truck all over the entire road. Probably killed most of the people escorting it.
Love that.
And made your escape to Boxer's safe house. Also, Cecile had an interview with a street doc called Haley and asked her to participate in exposing her father. Kaylee's an orc, and her parents disowned her and basically just dropped her off in the Barrens when she goblinized. And her father...
Hi, I'm back.
Kaylee's father, she confirmed
Cecile's suspicions that her father was the Dean Petrov, Kirill Petrov. Cecile asked Kaylee whether she would participate in exposing Kirill Petrov's rather callous treatment of his daughter, and Kaylee said that she needed to think on it. Cecile headed back from the interview to Boxer's apartment, where she watched human supremacists accosting an orc street vendor, and was later actually knocked down to the ground by them as they were escaping the police. So I think where we'll pick it up is with the team at the safe house. Are you guys going to call Prokop Skillful and let him know that you've accomplished the job?
I think that's the first thing Deandre does when she gets into the building, is she pulls up her cop link and starts dialing.
Look, Deandre, calls not here. Not without some sort
radio
of protocol.
Silence. And Deandre just turns off her comm link. You don't have to tell me twice.
You want to connect to the net, you can go out to... I don't really care, as long as it's sufficiently far away from here.
How is Grace reacting at this point? You've made the escape, but Grace has seen, once again, the carnage, the evidence, the slaughtered Naga family, and then the carnage that she participated in herself.
Did I miss the intro sequence?
There was no intro sequence.
Oh,
we just had a little recap.
Grace is not, obviously, she killed, and now that they're out of the fray, and are they in the safe house now?
Yes, you arrived at the safe house.
Nightingale's probably, gone and locked herself in the bathroom to very studiously scrub her fore and hind legs, probably ruining whatever loofah or soap that Boxer has.
No, she's pulling a Cecile.
Why is it always the bathroom?
It's very unfortunate for the elf who actually has a use for the bathroom with her poopy head nature.
There is absolutely no loofah in this bathroom. This is a safe house that's pretty run down. It's just sort of a...
Are there towels?
No. It's literally just an office in a warehouse that Boxer has rented out on the side that the owner's rented to her.
Yeah, pretty much the only good things about it, because I use the system for making the living things and where they specialize it more, are it has good security. It has really good security for what it is, and it has decent necessities. So I guess if you would call, just use the office bathroom and just hope, you don't look too out of place.
There's nobody here. It's the warehouse is itself not in operation, or if it is, it's not teeming with people right now. So it's, think of an old industrial warehouse office.
Would they even have a shower here?
There's a note in the bathroom. Ask me for wet wipes.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I should probably ask Boxer for baby wipes.
They're given without question.
They come standard in every MRE.
She takes them and she dashes off without another word.
I think Deandre would probably be dragging her bike off of the street, or getting it into the warehouse.
Yeah, you can do that. So you've gone completely dark and off the grid at this point.
Yep. She's probably going to engage the security protocols on her bike, which is basically she's just going to lock it and cover it up.
Boxer, where was this, Val?
It was in the ashy place,
Puyallup?
Puyallup.
Oh, yeah. We're in Puyallup. Every 30 seconds, if Deandre isn't talking, she sneezes.
Outside in the distance, you still hear the sirens and the sound of choppers. You're still in the same district where you carried out the heist. And Deandre, you've turned off your phone. You've turned off your comm. Boxer, I imagine you've got yours turned off.
Well, not turned off per se, just off the net.
And Grace's probably hasn't thought of it.
Grace is computer illiterate. She doesn't know.
So how are you going to get word to your Mr. J that you've got mission accomplished?
I think Deandre sneezes and realizes that they still need to communicate, and was like, I'll step out to a stuffer shack in a bit and make the call. How's that? Until then, what do we want to convey when we get there? And Deandre has started taking off her combat suit and has pulled out the one set of bug out clothes that she has.
I have enough material, stored away in my link to sufficiently convey that the job has been done. Delivering the rest of it, that's in person. But we should be able to satisfy them that we've got the job done. So,
all right. So do you guys want to basically just wait until the next day?
Deandre is still going to go out to the Stuffer Shack to get stuff. Like, she isn't just going to sit in a room for several days. Like, sweatpants.
It's late afternoon, so...
Sweatpants, you could wait till tomorrow. I guess Deandre would wait for tomorrow, just in case. Though it does look very weird that Deandre is wearing, like, a tank top, sweatpants, and a sword belted on over the top of it.
Yeah, there's still a good bit of activity in the neighborhood between VTOLs and helicopters buzzing around, and you hear sirens, and it seems like there's quite a bit of activity. Cecile, are you going to do anything else this night, or are you just going to wait for Kaylee to get in contact with you?
I was also going to get in touch with Krillsec and ask him about, basically send a message saying, hey, are you buying or not? I can sell this to other people.
He sends you back a message almost right away. 25K.
What's my negotiation? I kind of want to haggle. Yeah, I want to haggle. I send back 30K.
All right, let's make rolls. Do you have Krillsec's information in front of you?
Connection 5, loyalty 2.
All right, Krillsec got 2 hits. All right, so you guys cancel each other out. And Krillsec comes back and says, how about we meet in the middle?
Text him back, give me an hour to contact another buyer. And if they don't bite, sure.
He sends you a thumbs up emoji.
And then I'm going to contact Prokop. See how I message Prokop saying, hey, or am I calling? I'll call. Yeah, I ring Prokop.
He answers right away.
Prokop, I'm calling on business. I have some idle accounts, escrow, with a large amount of neon in them. Care to bite?
I see. An idle account with a large amount of neon in them. And who do these accounts belong to?
No one that matters. They seem to be dead. Accounts haven't been touched in better part of a decade.
Do you have access codes?
Let me scroll up. I can't remember how much it was. Do you remember if I had access codes?
You don't.
I don't.
You have the account numbers, and you have the identities that own the accounts, and you have the value of the accounts.
No access codes, but I can tell you their names, how much is in the accounts, and the account numbers.
I see. Well, then if you will tell me how much is in the accounts, I will attempt to find a buyer.
Let me go back through DMs. Wasn't it about 200K total?
Yes.
The accounts total 200,000 million.
I see. I will probably be able to get you about 10%.
Sadly, I have a better offer. Can you do 30? 30K?
Very well. 30K.
As long as I don't owe you a favor.
You still owe me one. That shall be sufficient.
All right. I'll send the details over to you soon. Paul, just out of curiosity, before I finish, what's the likelihood of me actually getting access to those accounts? 0? 1%?
Pretty close to 0.
Okay, just figured I'd ask. All right. I'll text back to Grillsec and say, got a better offer for 30K.
He sends you back another thumbs up and says, that's about it.
Better luck next time, noob. Then I send the information over to Prokop and just tell him, the next time I see you, I'll take a cred stick.
Yep, that'll be agreeable.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and add it to my Nian, though. Yeah, okay, I'm done.
All right, so... the team that's at the warehouse spends a rather uncomfortable night at the safe house. Deandre spends a lot of the time sneezing and awake, which keeps everybody else awake. Grace is preoccupied with the fact that she's got the astral stain of murder on herself.
Deandre's voice, as long as they're in Purulip, gets significantly more nasally every time, every like hour.
And Boxer actually sleeps decently since... her combat training and time in the field experience from time in the field kicks in, and she can pretty much sleep anywhere. And hey, she's got a roof over her head, so that's probably a step up from other experiences she's had. So the next morning rolls around. The team in the warehouse wakes up their usual early time. And if you're going to get coffee, you're going to have to leave the safe house. I say this only because I remember your need of coffee in the mornings.
I think DeAndre starts getting ready to go out, I guess. Like, by getting ready to go out, she means basically nothing. She straps on her sword and just stands up and stretches and goes, "I'm going to get some coffee. Maybe some orange juice."
Boxer or Grace doing anything?
Boxer's just filling away with things that the others can't see. AR.
And Grace is having a breakdown.
All right, so Deandre, you head out.
Yeah. Deandre's going to, I guess she has to turn her comlink back on, but she's going to wait until she's away from the warehouse to turn it back on.
All right. So Grace, how's your breakdown looking?
I imagine it's more closed off than hysterics. She's probably really stressed out, doing weird things. I don't know, wearing trash bags around her legs, cinched up with zip ties, but it doesn't make it go away. She can still feel it. She just can't see it anymore. Maybe even wearing let me see if she has some goggles. Wearing the glasses that she has to reduce the likelihood of her seeing herself again for now. Pacing, maybe pacing and or just sitting somewhere.
What's Boxer doing in AR or VR while she's, you said she was doing stuff in VR?
It doesn't matter. I know I downloaded a shit ton of things, so she has plenty to do, but she's not blind. She sees the horse wearing the trash bag and is concerned. Grace, are you right? Why are you wearing all of that?
Grace, she just kept pacing for a moment and then she stops. It was actually quite a noisy affair, and her ears had been clamped down to her head. She had a little bit of an audio processing issue whenever Boxer first came. And after a moment, she "What?
What happened? Are you all right?"
"I'm all right. The other guy's not."
"Which other guy?"
She goes back to pacing, not answering the question.
Deandre, as you head out to the local stuffer shack, are you going by foot or with a motorcycle?
Deandre's not going to drive the motorcycle. She's just walking, sneezing her ass off.
Yeah, your allergies get noticeably worse as you're outside. Are you wearing a respirator?
I don't think it got destroyed in the crash, so yes. I have my high rating respirator.
You're wearing your respirator, but it's really only staving off the effects slightly. Puyallup is just sort of an ashen, it's a version of it's like Auburn, an industrial area, but it's, as I've said before, it's because it's close to the site of a volcano that's erupted, there are lava flows and ash that's constantly raining down. Combine that with the industrial acid rain, everything is just covered with a thick, greasy layer of black ash and soot. And you are too by the time you get to the stuffer shack, which, unlike the stuffer shacks in the rest of the city, which are vibrantly lit up, all of the neon signs and of this place are completely streaked and covered in ash and grime. The only thing that is able to penetrate them, obviously, are the AR displays, which you don't notice since you're rocking an old school comlink in your pocket. Make a perception check, actually, and add a bonus for your security or knight errant knowledge.
Okay, so it's at a 1 for my knight errant knowledge. And then I guess, minor allergies will apply, I'm pretty sure.
Or do you have any kind of street knowledge skills?
No. Knight errant is the closest I have, I think.
So that and any negative modifiers from your allergies, which are kicking in pretty badly.
I think minor allergies is -2 to any relevant things. So let me check. It's on negative. -2 dice pool to all tests. I have a minor allergy or a mild allergy. So it's a total of -1, 3.
As you're walking through the streets, Puyallup is, like I said, an industrial area, has far fewer residential areas than even Auburn because of the after effects of the volcanic eruption. It does still have residential neighborhoods, and they are even more pathetic and pitiful than the ones in Auburn. There are the constant ash and grime make the life of panhandlers and street vendors pretty miserable. You notice that there is an elevated activity of knight errant security on the streets, as well as vehicles that you're noticing that you think are probably Yakuza scouts patrolling, probably on the alert, looking for whoever took out their truck. You're not feeling like you're at any risk of being observed, since you're not on your motorcycle and you're not part of any group. But you do see the elevated presence of both security companies and probably what you interpret as being the criminal elements from whom you took the evidence. You get to the Stuffer Shack. Like I said, it is a imagine a 7-Eleven that's basically had a volcano explode over it. The interior is just as nasty as the outside. It's as if somebody had taken snow and ice from April that was just black with exhaust and deposited all over the interior of the Stuffer Shack. There's a young dwarf male behind the security glass behind the checkout. And as you come in, he sort of looks up somewhat bored from whatever AR display he's distracted by, and then spots you and basically takes an interest. Obviously, you stand out, and then goes back to whatever he has in AR.
I think Deidre just goes around, picks up what she thinks will entice the rest of the party, and like six canned coffees. She basically just like takes all of the canned coffee and canned soy calf out of that she thinks she can carry out of their coolers or whatever, and turns around and walks up to the dwarf. Does the dwarf have cigarettes by the counter?
Yes. I think looks like D&Dare, they even have your brand.
They have my brand. They have D&Dare's elf brand of cigarettes. Hey.
Yeah. What do you need?
Can I get two packs of seven wands?
Sure thing, Chummer. Here you go.
And this.
He motions at the cred stick reader.
She just slots her cred stick in and finishes up and walks out.
All right, you get back to the warehouse without any further ordeal, aside from the fact that your allergies are killing you and you're just covered in ash and greasy soot. When D&Dare shows back up at the warehouse, Boxer and Gracie come in, and her jacket looks like it's been rolled around in a fireplace and then showered on.
D&Dare hasn't been wearing her jacket. She's just been wearing like a tank top.
Oh, she's still just wearing the tank top?
She's wearing tank top and sweats, and she has a sword belted on. That's it.
Well, it looks like D&Dare's been rolled around in an ashtray and then showered upon, but not enough to actually rinse her off, just enough to actually make it stain her really badly. Needless to say, she looks miserable.
She, D&Dare starts digging in her bag. I don't know what you two like, so I just got some kind of random stuff. And she just dumps it out on the table or whatever and puts down the coffees. One. And she offers a coffee to Boxer and Nightingale.
She takes one.
D&Dare also takes both packs of cigarettes out of her like pocket and throws them down on the table and doesn't say anything.
Nightingale steals all of the sweets and goes and finds something to sit up on, elevated off of the ground.
I think D&Dare just sits on the ground and like starts trying to clean off her face with like whatever damp rag or whatever she can find.
Wet wipes, apparently.
Wet wipes.
Apparently Boxer stocks wet wipes.
That's about it. She's not going to clean off anything else. No, she's going to clean off her sword, her face, and then she's like cleaning and oiling her sword.
All right, how long are you guys going to hang out at the safe house?
I assume that we were going to tough it for a few days at least.
Yeah, seems about right.
Oh, after like 30 minutes of D&Dare just polishing and sharpening her sword, she goes, the yaks and the knight errant were scrubbing the streets, so should avoid vehicles for a bit, I think.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Nightingale.
Hmm?
What's wrong?
I mean, Well, like, I imagine you asked this while she's, like, in the process of binging on everything sweet you had brought. Hell, she may have just, like, taken all of the snacks. Totally greedy. Not thinking. With a little bit of, crumb, a little bit of smear on her face. She just kind of pauses and gives the Ender a look. And at first it's an innocent look, but let me roll composure. And she opens her mouth and she says, well, I... And then she promptly starts crying. And she blabbers everything and then just, like, buries her face into, like, a pile of now empty wrapper.
I think Deandre is just, like, quiet for, like, a solid minute, just almost staring directly at Nightingale. And then she sighs. I guess it's time to tell my stupid little story. She pulls out her comlink and starts digging through her photos. And, like, after a few minutes, she turns a photo around, and there's a little girl. Like, by little girl, I mean, like, a teenager, almost. Like, a teenage Deandre, just covered in blood. And, like, you can see, like, the tip of her ear is cut off and everything. It's still bleeding in the picture. And it's, like, a mugshot of Deandre. She, like, slides it over to Nightingale. I know how you feel. Back in, what was it, 2020?
She's crying louder, but she actually looked up.
2025, my, God, have we told you about the goblinization camps?
No! What are those?
So, in, like, 2022, the Sixth World was still, like, configuring itself, I imagine. And, a portion of the population, became goblinized. They came to represent the metatypes of, what you would see in modern-day orcs and trolls. Well, my father, my sweet old dad, got goblinized. And they didn't really know what was happening then. They thought it was contagious as hell. So they rounded everybody that was goblinized and their families, unless they could pay. And they put them in a warehouse. Well, like, two or three of them. This was kind of like this one.
In Seattle?
Yeah. Probably not too far from here, actually.
And what happened to those people?
Well, about 10% of them were murdered by, bad cops.
How many were there?
I don't remember. I was 15. I remember one day, the fifth day, the week we got out, me and my brother were, finally getting back into our old groove, and we were wandering around to our old haunts, checking on the people we used to know. And we wandered into these pair of, go-gangers. Now, I have a lot of bias against go-go-go's, but they've never really changed. Well, it's not something I'm really proud of, but I'm pretty damn sure I killed one of them that day. Cops didn't care. I'm in the slums, people got killed all the time. But, that's how my ear got cut off. I guess you could say that's the end of that story. But I hate to say it, but it gets easier.
I think we may be missing a vital piece of this puzzle, and it's that you're metahuman and I'm not. You were born in this. And she's suddenly up and, like, standing up on, I guess, I don't know, the box that she'd perched herself. And she just kind of scatters all of the wrappers. You were born to this. You didn't have any choice in this. And I do. I did. I had a choice this entire time. And I made the choice to... I made the choice to come here. I made the choice for that job. I made that choice.
Shut up! I killed that man. The one in the front seat with the other yak. I think he was magically active. We derailed. We killed. We knocked that car down. I gave the order. I killed him. His neck was snapped by the time I got to him. The other one came out fine, though, I think. But you didn't kill it. It's my fault.
Just staring really hard at the entire.
God, I could go for a smoke right now.
And then she collapses back onto, like, loafing on the box.
Deandre pulls her lighter out of her, like, sweats pocket and tosses it at Boxer. Don't let me have that. My, like, lighter. It's like a Zippo lighter, like an old Zippo lighter that has engravings and Sprathiel on it.
What do cigarettes even do?
You fuck up your lungs, something fierce.
Why would I want one?
They make you feel better.
They're calming. Tastes like shit, though.
You have cigarettes.
Savoans. Shouldn't smoke, though. 5 years without one. Shouldn't ruin it now. I think Deandre starts, like, tapping her fingernails on the pommel of her sword, like, loud enough and fast enough where it, like, it's very, very present, but, like, she just doesn't stop.
Grace, you couldn't have known. Normally I'm the one who handles that, you're never supposed to deal with that, and you couldn't have known what was going to happen, so...
Do you even know what happened?
The magically active man in the front seat had signs of drain on his hands, so he must have been battling.
It wasn't the physical accident that killed him. I know that.
I've seen people come back from drain like that, but...
No, you don't understand. I cast a spell on him. It was just supposed to put him to sleep, like a bear. But he didn't go down, and in fact he moved so fast, and then I was befuddled and confused, and he threw a mana ball, I think, and it just raged in the cabin because it couldn't get out, and in my panic, I was scared. I was in pain. I was feeling myself falling apart. I tackled him, and I.
Nightingale, would you like to forget?
Ooh, this could be good.
Oh my god!
Yente?
What?
What?
No, we are not. You are not. No, absolutely not.
But what is she talking about?
Yente reaches into her pants pocket into her bag and digs around in it and pulls out another package of cigarettes. This one has a very different label, but it's still Savoans. It's just like where Savoans would usually be marked with like green around it and the seal would be green. This one's bright red. During the Shire Rebellion, we started distributing these. It's not the best idea in the world, and it certainly has caused more harm than good. They are cigarettes laced with a certain chemical. Main effects are, for most metahumans, sudden consciousness and, in larger doses, brain damage. But if you ride the line of dosage, it shoots your short-term memory for up to 12 hours, I think. Maybe a little more. It's not something to be taken lightly.
Nightingale is looking at Boxer. Grace is looking at Ollie.
Rises dart between Grace and Deandra. Look, Deandra, we don't get to forget these things. Do you understand?
I understand. I know. Do you think there are things that I haven't done that I'd like to forget? Hell, I've killed more men than with my own blade than could drive on a street. But do you think it's not damn fine to think about it sometimes?
You are offering.
I'm presenting the option.
No, no. I'm not going to tamper with my mind.
Deandra hears the word no, and she immediately tucks the cigarettes back into her like jacket. Like, light speed, they go from in hand to in the bag, zipped up right behind her. Well then, we don't ever have to speak about it again.
Nightingale just looks a little confused now. She's no longer like all out crying. She's thinking now.
Damn, I'm fucking bad at pep talks. Ugh.
I may have been ordered to do what I did, but I ripped his soul apart. And
That's what you had to do.
And she, like, brings a four hoof up and taps herself on the side of the head.
That's what you did. You did what you had to do. Look at me.
I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to push it that hard. I didn't even have to be there.
You didn't have to be there. I brought you there. I brought you to all of this. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that you aren't to blame. You can't blame yourself. You protected us by doing that.
I think I'm kind of forgetting. I'm missing the point of why we were doing it. I'm so caught up. It's they
Yeah. They were butchering people. They were monsters. And it's okay to kill monsters, isn't it? I mean, think of what
that
they did to other
to,
people.
Like, click something in our head. And for a moment, she's just sitting there. And it's a very obvious change in her demeanor. She straightens up, and her eyes widen. And then she's blinking and giving Boxer a look.
Good thing. You understand? And I'm proud of you.
Okay.
The team at the warehouse safe house is having a rather intense day Steele, on the other hand, is spending the day at Boxer's or Diander's apartment. Cecile, you haven't heard from anybody on the team.
Why would she?
Yep, you haven't heard for anything from Diander. Diander is apparently out doing her thing. And towards evening, you get a comm call from Kaylee asking you to meet her again this coming evening at the bar where you met the last time.
Sure. Where is that again?
It's in the neighborhood here in Auburn.
Mm. But yeah, Cecile agrees to that, marks it on her comlink calendar, sets up a reminder. No, not right now. She's just enjoying a book. Although, I don't want to step in the way of the rest of the party doing their thing. They seem like they have stuff going on.
After like 2 hours of Cecile sitting there reading her book, she suddenly hears egg timers going off in the kitchen.
What? She confusedly walks into the kitchen?
They're like really old egg timers that are going off with notes on them that say, "What are your fucking plants?"
Cecile turns off the egg timer, and I now have to decide whether she's the type of person to water the plants or not. You know what I think she is? I think she shrugs and says, "Well, okay, let's see if I can find the watering can."
The watering can's on top of the fridge.
Sure, she'll go around and water the plants. Not very well, but she'll water them.
Plants are now moderately hydrated. Do you have any pertinent skills that you should roll?
She has biology, knowledge skill.
All right. Roll it. Give us a biology knowledge skill roll.
Okay. That's two successes.
With two successes, Cecile understands that using hydrating soda from Stuffer Shack is probably not the right way to water plants. And so she takes filtered water and uses that to hydrate the plants.
She's not that dense.
Oh my god, it's like that one movie.
Don't mention that movie.
I was trying to not well, you know what I mean.
This is not what the plants crave.
In any case, so the appointed time rolls around. Do you head out?
Yeah, she'll take a great guide. Oh, and she you know what? I'm gonna say Cecile's going to poof herself with magic.
Last time you walked.
Walks? She'll take a grid guide.
Yeah, the last time you walked and you became involved in an altercation, you saw the old orc street vendor being accosted by the humanus people, and you decided that you weren't going to intervene, kept walking, and then the knight errant showed up, and the humanus guys, as they were running away, knocked you down.
Ouch, has that healed yet?
You've got a pretty good scrape on your knee, and you had a hole in your pants.
Cecile doesn't wear pants.
Well, then she had a hole in her stockings.
Good thing she bought 10, and she can also fix holes.
Right.
It's good being a mage.
All right, yeah, so you magic yourself up?
Mm-hmm. I just did the makeover, and she'll just wear a different pair of stockings.
All right, you head out to the bar where you met the orc Kaylee the last time. Kaylee's already waiting for you. And she's in the same booth that you discussed the situation last time. She has a drink in front of her, and she's looking sort of distracted at it.
Cecile sits down without saying anything.
Kaylee looks up at you and says, "Well, I've been thinking about what you asked me the other night, last night, pretty carefully. I've been trying to put all this behind me, but I guess it's not going to stay down."
I see.
So what exactly was your plan again?
Well, all I need from you is to give probably a statement, maybe a recording or written statement. Our identity will more than likely be protected. I'll get in touch with one or two, maybe a few news organizations and have the story circulated along with some other incriminating information. And I'll do my best to make sure, what's his name?
Cyril Petrov.
Mr. Petrov has a very, very rough time in the media.
But how are you going to protect my identity? I don't see how you're going to be able to do that. I'm not saying it's a sticking point. I'm just saying that since you said you were going to do it, I'm wondering how you were going to do that.
From Mr. Petrov specifically?
No, Mr. Petrov, I'm sure, knows who I am. But once you release it to the media, they're going to want to verify.
I can set something up. I can have a very hard bargain. Plus, your identity won't matter that much. There's a very short news cycle these days. You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
It'll be 5 minutes, your face will be everywhere, and then everyone will forget you ever existed.
All right. Well, I think we should do this.
Good. I'll get in touch with you when I want your statement proper. Would you prefer it be video or anonymous?
No. If we're going to do this, let's do this the whole way. We'll go video.
If you so please. As I said, I'll get in touch with you. Perhaps spend a little time editing your thoughts, making sure it's cogent.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Let me know if there's anything else I can do for you.
She hands you over a small, looks like a vial. And she says, this is a genetic sample.
Ah, perfect. I probably would have asked for one of these anyway. For what it's worth, I'm going to make this man suffer for whatever solace that's worth. She curtsies, and then she goes to leave.
Okay. Haley does not have any further anything else to ask you or tell you. I imagine you take a grid guide back to the apartment?
Yeah. Seal's feeling okay. And scheming.
Plan is coming together. How many days are you guys going to hang out at the safe house?
2 or 3, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Cecile, what are you going to do in 2 or 3 days?
2 or 3 days? Oh, well, if I have that long. You know that plan I mentioned with the whole ads thing?
Yes.
Cecile's probably going to spend a little time working on that. You know, plotting.
Okay.
Let's say we sort that out later, so we don't slow down this session. Because that's just a bunch of, like, planning and nonsense. Not a lot of roles.
All right, so she's spending some time taking care of those plans.
Every day that Deandre is gone, you find an egg timer in an increasingly strange location with a sticky note on it that says, water the damn plants.
Cecile is beginning to wonder if Deandre has dementia or Alzheimer's. She's like, what? Why would anyone need this? She continues to water the plants.
All right. At the end of 3 days, what is the gang in the warehouse doing? The audible activity of security forces outside has reduced itself to what you probably think is a normal amount at this point.
For starters, Boxer's going to go out to a safe distance from the safe house to check her comm.
Dindu is just going to get all her stuff together, hop on her bike, and drive back home. Like, 3 days are gone. Night Errant's not looking for us. Deandre just throws her jacket back on and hops on her bike.
All right. So did, if I remember right, Grace and Boxer went in their van? Went in Boxer's or Grace's van? Or did they go in a grid guide?
We all rode on the bike, I think, somehow.
Huh?
Boxer holds Elf Pony in the sidecar.
Sidecar is gone.
Sidecar is gone. Rip sidecar.
Sidecar was a casualty of the truck. So I guess Boxer and Grace, you would have to leave in some other vehicle. Are you guys going to get a Johnny Cab or a grid guide? Or
yeah, a grid guide.
I think like Deandre comes home and like comes directly through the door, respirator on, covered in ash. And like she spots Cecile and it's like, did you water the plants? That's the first thing she says to Cecile. Not hi.
Yes, I watered the plants. Is something wrong with you? Why do you have so many weird, annoying clocks?
I knew it'd be gone for a few days, but I didn't know you.
Why do you have so many of them?
I used to use them for cooking, believe it or not. I have them with my brothers. It's a habit we both picked up.
Whatever.
I think Deandre just, like, comes in and sits down on the cat, like, for a second, just covered in ash, and it's like... And then gets up and starts cleaning herself, clothes, and all her gear. She then messages the group and is like, did we deliver our data to Mr. J? There it went.
That's to do.
I think Boxer somehow delivered the data.
She will. She wants to do at least some of it in person. Some of it has to be done in person. Which means Grace. Grace is being grabbed to go to Prokop's, go to the Kutz Bazaar.
Yeah. Grace would come along.
Because she has a sample too, I think. Or maybe it was just Boxer.
What was that?
Because she has a... I think it was only Boxer got a physical sample.
Grace took pictures on her camera.
Yeah, you have the you have a bunch of digital evidence. Like I said, it's all linked together because you had video and audio of your when you actually were in the Warehouse Alliance. So you have, you know, video of that container being in the Warehouse Alliance facility. The codes on the side of the container will match. And then you've got the video of the stuff, of the evidence, basically scattered across the street. And then you took your own samples. So you've definitely got everything that the Mr. Johnson was asking for. So did I hear you say you were contacting ProCop?
They're going in person because they want to deliver the samples.
Oh, you're just going to show up at the Samovar?
Okay, yeah, you should probably call ahead.
With with some horrid samples?
Oh, by the way, before they do that, Nightingale probably would have figured out some more long-term solution than trash bags to cover up her legs. I'm imagining that she, like, made funky little socks. Actually, now that I think about it, because she comes from the country, she may actually know how to, like, tailor stuff. Just not very well. She has socks now, is the point. Maybe made out of a towel or something.
Maybe you stopped at a Suffer Shack and got a couple of old, or got some, like, sweatpants or sweatshirts and tore the sleeves off of them. And
yeah, something like that. And she used that.
You bought some leggings.
Yeah.
Calf warmers.
Yeah.
I dread to think of them with patterns.
I'm trying to think what patterns the Sixth World would have. They'd probably... She'd probably opt for something pink, but like magic too.
The only available thing is pink and white stripes, the horizontal one.
They've got some Aztechnology subsidiary logos all over them. All right, so the plan is you guys are going to contact ProCop, set up a meet, and Cecile, you spent some time plotting and planning and setting things in motion.
Mwahahaha.
Or are you really just going to show up at Samovar with...
If they haven't done it by the time D'Andre finishes having like a 5-minute shower, then D'Andre is going to start bothering them about it.
If you have a 5-minute shower, Cecile's going to judge you.
Cecile says.
D'Andre probably has more than a 5-minute shower, but like it's a fairly quick shower.
All right. Is somebody texting or calling ProCop Skillful?
Yeah. Boxer.
Yes, I shall call ProCop Skillful. And then whenever he picks up, I'm going to be like that one meme of the dog really close up to the doorbell camera. And like the fisheye lens is fully on display.
So it's a video call?
No, I mean, I could
too close to the camera.
I was joking, but like, I do kind of want to call ProCop because I never get to do the calls.
Do it.
She gave me permission. I'm gonna do it now, and it's gonna be like those people that talk directly into the receiver when they don't have to, you know, like they hold it in front of their mouth and so it's too loud. That's the logic that Grace is running on right now.
All right, you call ProCop and he answers pretty quickly, like two rings maybe. Ah, yes, my special four-legged friend, how are you today?
Not the best, but God damn it. Not the best, but we did what you needed us to do. We have all of the evidence. We have pictures. We have samples. And we can have them delivered to the J, well, whenever.
I see. I understand there is also quite a public display, which is beneficial, I think. So we will set up a meet. I do not want to do this business at my place for obvious reasons. Will your team be available tonight?
And then she like looks over and she's like, are we going to be available tonight? Boxer!
I suppose.
And she like immediately switches back and she's like, yes!
Very well. He shoots you a location, an address, which is close by in Auburn.
And she sends that to the whatchamacallit?
To the rest of the team, to the voice chat, or the voice, the group chat? What's the modern word?
The group chat?
Yes, that.
Yeah,
that strange vernacular.
Yes, this strange digital thing that you use, where you all communicate.
Anyway, Shadowrun. Anyway.
Yes, Shadowrun.
Anyway, all right, so Mr. Skillful has dropped you guys, has dropped Grace the address and time where he would like to meet you to take said sample and other evidence off of your hands. It is a nearby location in Auburn.
How close is it to Deandre's apartment?
It is walking distance.
Deandre is going to walk. She's going to put on her normal clothes, the clean ones, and then head out when the time comes.
Okay. Cecile, are you, you're not going along. You have no reason to go along, right?
I mean, she might want to pick up her money, but no, she's not going to go for now.
She thinks she's getting paid for this?
No, she's getting paid for something else.
All right.
Listen, if she could steal your money, she would.
So she's not going along?
No.
Cecile likes being kicked in the face, totally noted.
Boxer and Grace, you guys are going too, right?
Well, yes.
Oh, yes.
Jinx.
So, Grace, you've shared the location?
Yeah, she would have shared it with the group chat. The one without Cecile, because she wasn't a part of that job. They created a group chat without her.
Boxer, when Grace shares the location, you see that it's the it's Kaylee's clinic.
Are you sure? Are you sure this address is right? Absolutely sure.
Is she still on phone on the call with ProCop?
No.
And she texts ProCop directly. It's just like, are you sure? Right address? Question mark? Exclamation point one. Tree emoji.
You get a voicemail back. Apparently, he doesn't text too well. You get a voicemail back. Says, the address is correct. This is a good clinical location to exchange samples.
ProCop says it's right. It's for the sterile environment, I'm guessing. Though I don't really understand how microbiology works.
Right. But I doubt that's coincidence.
At that point, Boxer, you get a text from Kirsten.
She texts it.
And the text says, hey, can we meet before you go to the meet?
Why?
I have something I think I need to tell you.
All right. Give me a time and I'll be there.
She texts you back and asks you for a location near, you know, a convenient location.
She just picks a suffer shack near the meet location.
You could do Hazel's Bar.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. She texts you back. She says, I'll be there in 30 minutes.
Yeah, and we're taking a good guide.
Are you going to take Nightingale with you?
Are we not still in the grid guide?
You're still in your apartment.
So is the horse coming or is the horse not? That is the question.
The horse can come if she wants. She'll ask.
The horse does kind of want to come, yeah.
How is the horse disguising herself? Is she disguising herself?
The horse will probably be invisible for the ride. Are they meeting directly with the J or just with ProCop?
No, you're on your way. You're actually on your way to meet the girl, Kirsten, at a local bar before the meet with ProCop.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. She'd take the form of the dog. The dog. She got that dog in her.
All right. You guys pull up at Hazel's Bar and get out. There's a, it's nighttime in Auburn. Auburn's a very working class neighborhood, very industrial. The neighborhood you're in is more residential, but it's basically a lot of very small apartments filled with the people who work at the local industries. And Hazel's Bar, and I forget the name of it. I know that we've said what the name is, but the bar is sort of a local working class watering place. There's a bunch of people hanging out in front of it. Lots of street vendors hawking all sorts of foods and drinks and stuff like that. The minute you guys get out of your grid guide, even while you were in it, but the minute you get out of it, your ARs, if you're in AR like Boxer probably is, your ARs are saturated with ads for the local businesses, including the tavern that you're about to visit. And you're getting AR messages, news updates of the neighborhood. You know, there's people complaining about the recent increase of Humanus Polyclub violence against metahumans, and you've got messages popping up from your local knight errant stations telling everybody to remain calm, that they're handling it, and you know, that kind of stuff's just sort of popping up all over your AR feed, Boxer, as you get out with Grace next to you in the guise of a dog. You enter Hazel's Bar, and at this time of night, it's pretty raucous in here. in a very good natured way. This is a neighborhood place. Everybody knows everybody. These are all colleagues who work together. If there are fights, they're usually quote unquote friendly fights, which are just sort of, you know, shouting matches and maybe some pushing and shoving and some fisticuffs, but that's about it. You're known in this bar. People make way for you, and Hazel at the bar gives you a nod, and you can see her drawing your favorite draft right off the get-go. And as you look around, you see the girl Kirsten at the bar. She's wearing sort of a teal leather jacket with a very high collar, short midriff, short red skirt, red shoes, and her platinum blonde hair in a bob. And as you walk up, she looks up at you from her drink and says, "Oh, hey, Boxer, good to see you again."
"Yes, then, and you?" So she sits down next to her. "What is it that you need to discuss?"
Kirsten looks down at Grace and almost instinctively goes to sort of pat Grace's head, and then remembers that Grace is a sentient being, not an actual dog. And she looks a little bit perplexed, and then she just says hello to Grace.
The dog just like nods. It literally nods. It is a very unusual thing for a dog to do.
Kirsten looks slightly uncomfortable and gives a quick glance around the room, which is very noisy. It's full of AR advertisements for various beverages and other types of adult entertainment. And then Kirsten looks at Boxer and says, "So I just wanted to let you know, as sort of a quasi favor or a return on the favor of helping me when you helped me rescued Cecile without really asking for anything in return. I know it's been sort of a weird, awkward situation for the last couple of days, so I just wanted to give you a little heads up. You know that I work for ProCop, right?"
"I'm aware."
"Kaylee does too."
"I see. Thank you for this information. It certainly explains."
ProCop's asked me to keep an eye on some people. It's sort of what I do. And I think our friend, she looks a little bit awkward, and she blushes even a little bit. She says, "I think our friend, our mutual friend Cecile, is about to start a firestorm in the city, whether she understands the ramification of what she's doing or not. And I'm a little bit worried that your friend Kaylee might be about to get caught up in it."
"I'll talk to her then."
"Talk to Kaylee or talk to Cecile?"
"Kaylee. You think I could get through to Cecile?"
"No, I don't." "That's why I was so questioning. Well, I just wanted to let you know because, well, you've helped me out and now I've given you some, hopefully some useful information."
"I think it will be."
"There is going to be, the city's going to burn. There are some things happening, as you probably already know. The trouble that you're having here in this neighborhood with the Humanist Poly Club, it's connected to the other things that are happening."
"What is a wider movement? Shit. Well, thank you."
"Yeah, of course. You should know that, well, never mind." She gets up awkwardly and says, "Have a good night." And then she pats Grace's head and walks out.
Boxer watches her go.
Grace whispers, "That's just a confirmation of what we already knew."
"Maybe, but I'm worried about Kaylee, I suppose."
"All right, between now and the meet at Kaylee's, are you going to do anything?"
Boxer will stop at the Stuffer Shack and get Grace some snacks.
"You're not stopping at the Stuffer Shack. You're stopping at Fred's Convenience."
"You're stopping at Fred's Convenience."
"You do not go to the Stuffer Shack. They're competitors of Fred's."
"Right, yeah, since we're in the area."
You sometimes you work for Fred, and Fred is a local fixture. All of the locals go to Fred's and ignore the Stuffer Shack.
Ignore that accursed yellow box.
Right.
Nightingale is probably like in the midst of all of this. I think she might contact Jake and tell him that she's come across dangerous work, and she's on the market for armor that's a little bit better than what she currently has. More fit to purpose. And she doesn't know when she's going to be able to come out to get it or get it tailored to her or whatever. But that she'd like it if he like kept his fillers out for people.
He responds in sort of a heck yeah kind of way. "Get geared up."
At least he's supportive.
Yep, he says sort of a heck yeah, get geared up. And then he says, he follows up with something that sort of perks your interest. He says, we're all going to need it soon.
You told me it was small, the humanist thing. And that's all she says. You told me it was small. And then she adds she'd probably say the clubber stuff. And there's kind of like a like eyes emoji looking.
He sends you back some typical humanist gibberish about how this is the beginning. This is how it all kicks off. Everything's going to burn.
And she says, but I live in everything.
As we're going to watch the world burn together, horsey.
And she just says, well, I imagine at that point she just like unplugs. And she's not paying it mind anymore. She'd probably tell Boxer that the poly club itself is involved, and things are gonna get bad once they're out. She'd tell her that. Well, they'd already be out if she's accessing her phone. So she'd say, but Boxer,
yeah, Chris.
So current projections are not good. I was messaging Jake about something unrelated, and then I thought to ask him about this, and he said something about the Day of Rope, and that and she just gives a very serious and like almost disappointed look that the world's gonna burn. They're gonna uproot the taint and whatnot.
And that very sort of closely jibes with something, you know, with what the language that Kirsten was using.
We can't stop the whole body club, but we can keep a few people safe, so that's what I'll be doing, I suppose. Fucking racists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are going to Kaylee's. Dinder, you're going to Kaylee's as well?
Yes.
You guys arrived just around the same time. Did Boxer and Grace walk?
I guess they could, if they're near enough by.
Nightingale wouldn't mind. She's a horse. I imagine she does a lot more walking. She used to do a lot more walking than she's been doing recently, just because of the city.
Our centric infrastructure. Bleh.
Auburn is a part of the city that never really sleeps. Industry is constant. The ubiquitous Auburn hum, the clang and clamor of industry, the heavy trucks moving through the city. The streets are full of nightlife, people going to and from work, people coming off of their shifts, going to either home, to their apartments, to their dingy little apartments, or to go find some oblivion in a local watering hole. However, Boxer especially notices, because you're from this neighborhood, you've been living here for a while, you notice that there is a distinct flavor of tension in the air that didn't used to exist, but you can correlate to the time when this humanist threat has started to emerge. Although on the way to Kaylee's, you don't come across any of the humanist gangers. And when you get to Kaylee's clinic, you see that it's open, the lights are on. There is a Mitsubishi Night Sky pulled up in front of it. And as you're walking up, you see Dinder pulling up on her motorcycle.
Oh, I walked, so...
Oh, you walked too. Yep, so you guys arrive both about the same time. The lights are on. There's a Mitsubishi Night Sky pulled up in front of the clinic, and Boxer, you're probably the only person running AR at this point. And aside from the various AR advertisements and signs for the clinic itself, you see a very small AR symbol over the night sky that you recognize as the digital key coin that Prokop had given you guys some time ago.
So
it looks like he's here. You guys go in. The waiting room is empty, and the lady that is normally behind the reception desk is not there. As you enter the waiting room, Kaylee comes through the door to the clinic and looks you over and then gives you guys a nod and locks the front door of the clinic. And she says, all right, follow me. And as she says that, she sort of gives Boxer a look, a questioning look, as if she's asking, looking at Boxer, wondering whether Boxer is wondering how this is all connected. She leads you back into the clinic area where you see Prokop waiting for you. And with him is the woman that you've seen at Samovar Talia. And both Prokop and Talia are dressed much the way you usually see them. Prokop's in his sort of casual evening wear, black suit, white shirt. It looks like he's got a cigarette that he wants to light, but he keeps looking around and seeing the medical equipment, remembering that he's in a lab, and keeps himself from lighting it. In the bright lights of the lab, you see that his blue eyes that you noticed in the samovar and wondered whether they were actually glowing or not, in the bright lights of the lab, you see that they do give off a faint glow. Talia's hair is all spiked up black. There are streaks of pale violet in it, and that color matches the color of her lips and eyes. She's standing somewhat rigidly next to him, and he's sitting on a gurney, sort of nonchalantly. He looks up as you guys walk in. Ah, very well. You are here. So, what have you got for me?
We have tissue samples. We have photos. We have video. We have recordings. We can confirm who the crate belonged to. We can confirm the specific crate that it was. And we have proof for all of that.
Grace, make a composure test.
Oh, I would have already healed off my stun, wouldn't I?
Yes.
Wait, still applied my wound one.
You got two.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to go with the two.
You managed to suppress a reaction as you walk into the room. Talia's aura is disturbing, but even more disturbing is the spirit in the form of a large black wolf that immediately locks eyes with you as you walk through the room.
And she's explaining this, she gets like obviously a little harried, and she's like, we know that they were moving ghouls and metasapient body. And then she just starts, and she's like engaged in a staring contest with the spirit. And after a moment, she looks over at Talia with begging eyes, and she says, "You please ask it to leave the room."
She's looking at you with an extremely cold and imperious gaze, and you realize that she's watching you in the astral as well. And she sort of makes a little flicking motion with her fingers, and the spirit dissipates.
Wait, it dissipates? Do you mean that she like dismissed it entirely and it left our plane?
She dismissed it, yes.
Oh, I just meant take it out of the room, but that works too. I actually feel a lot safer.
Well,
Nightingale.
You almost feel safer, except for her gaze is as scary as it.
Nightingale just tries to ignore her look. Which actually, it's just been like 3 days since, right?
Since
we got it, all yes. Of this stuff. Talia, being currently dual natured, astrally perceiving, might be able. Well, do you think you could roll perception for her?
Mm-hmm. I can try.
I forget what the targets were. One is like easy but not automatic, right? And then two, and then so on, and then like six is like this is bazonkers hard. And so on, right?
I thought I had created a character, but doesn't look like it did.
Well, what would her perception pool be? We could guesstimate 8 or 12.
All right, she rolled 1, 2, 3, 4 successes. What were you wondering whether she perceived or not? Oh,
So with those calf warmers or whatever, the jury-rigged socks that Nightingale's wearing, I imagine at a certain point she would have just cut off the bottoms because her hooves were digging through them with each step.
Mm-hmm. You didn't even have
probably,
to cut them off. Your hooves cut them off for you.
Yeah. Talia would be able to see the inky dark red of murder on Nightingale's hooves. All of them. And it kind of leaks through her clothing up her legs.
You see the recognition in her eyes as she sees it, and were you expecting maybe a judgmental look or something? You almost see something more like approval and or somewhat more acceptance, which maybe is more disconcerting than it should be.
Yeah. Nightingale had originally cringed. She relaxed, and then she cringed again, and then she just steps up and places her camera up onto the table where they're sitting. They're sat, right?
Yep.
She places her camera on the table where they're sat.
Prokop sat on a gurney and Talia standing next to him.
She says, it's the first few pictures.
Prokop takes the camera, Then he looks at Boxer and Dinder, and he says, did you guys get anything else?
Samples. Boxer places down her own samples.
Haley takes the samples from you.
Very significant amounts of video.
And all of this will link the cargo that was spilled across the street in Puyallup to Warehouse Alliance. Mr. Johnson is specifically looking for things that will incriminate Warehouse Alliance and its shareholders.
Mm. They'll most certainly be connected.
Any other digital tracks which you found while you were infiltrating the facility?
Oh, Dander?
I have a copy of most of their manifests as well as their founding documents. I take out whatever storage device I put that on. They've been working continuously with the people that have been transporting this and transporting the similar items to what was spilled, and I imagine they would continue to do so. They seem to give them preferential treatment on cargo placement as well, and expedite processes for seemingly little to no pay.
Nice tea. At that point, Kaylee's taken a sample from you, and she's apparently taken some of it and done some tests, and she looks at Boxer for a second, and you, Boxer, can tell that the normally unflappable Kaylee, who's seen so much go through her clinic and experienced so much, seems rather shocked. And she takes the sample over to Prokop and hands it to him. And she says, yes, I can confirm. The DNA is definitely Naga. And Grace, as you see Talia look at the sample, and you yourself even, when you look at the sample, it's the astral signature of it is revolting. And you can see that even Talia is revolted by it.
They murdered people. And I don't know. They're moving people infected with MHV, you know, VVV, ghouls, as I mentioned. The company that's been working with Warehouse Alliance, I think it's important to say we believe that that company's a Yakuza front.
Yes, I believe you are correct. Well, we will see what our Mr. Johnson wants to do with this information. I think they will be happy with it. Ultimately, I think that our goals are common. We desire to destroy this organization and punish them for their crimes. And I think you have done us a good deed here. He reaches into a pocket and pulls out a couple of cred sticks and hands one to Dinder and Boxer and Grace. Very well. I have added some additional new yen to this, as I think that your work is important here. And he looks at Boxer and he says, I think that we will need your team to do some more work soon. Do you think you will be available?
I believe so.
Very well. I will contact you soon. But I would be very careful with what is happening at this point. I think that we have stirred up the hornet's nest. The Yakuza are not an enemy to be trifled with. And these people from the Humanist Front, this is all connected. I will give you more information when it is available and makes sense to do so. In the meantime, I want you to know, Boxer, that my friend Kaylee here is, as I said, she is a friend. We have known each other for many years, and she is one of the people who have recommended you to me. My organization in the streets runs deep. You're not quite sure how he means that. It almost sounds like a warning. For some reason, although there's no obvious malice or ill intent. Then he reaches out a hand to you and says, job well done. We will see you soon again at the Samovar.
Of course.
He shakes your hand and then he reaches out to Dinder to take your hand.
I think Dinder reaches forward to shake his hand and then very swiftly sneezes. That was an accident, but she sneezes and then pauses for a second and then just gives a very curt bow.
He returns the bow and says, Gesundheit. And then he looks at Grace and he sort of holds out his hand and then he does sort of a, actually he just holds out a fist bump
Nightingale, she was already going kind of wide-eyed while they were doing their handshakes. And whenever attention comes to her, she's like, it's very obviously that she's holding something back, that there's something going on. She's like on the edge of hyperventilating. And she's just kind of staring, not at Krokop, through him. And after a moment, she looks up, and then at his hand, and then to Talia, and then back to him, and she takes a step forward, and she just gives him that little bump.
He nods, and he and Talia leave. They're carrying the sample and all of the evidence that you gave them. And at that, and then Kaylee looks at the three of you, and she says, "Well, I can sure use a drink after that. Do you guys want to accompany me to Hazel's?"
"Sure, why not?"
"I'd rather not go to another fragging bar. I think I'm going to go find a dumpster to take a nap in."
"Did you say that out loud?"
"Yes."
Adinda looks directly at Nightingale. "Go home. Go wherever you sleep."
"You can crash at my apartment."
"Or mine, if you really want to, but don't sleep in a dumpster."
"I just said that because I'm upset. Yeah,
I don't remember. Has Kaylee ever seen or heard Nightingale speak?"
No, I don't think so. I think she may have like seen a quadrupedal member of the group at one point, but she didn't talk to Nightingale. So this is like a whole new creature, and she was probably just kind of ignoring it until like that outburst. "I don't want to go to another fragging bar." Well, not ignoring it, but like not paying much mind.
Kaylee starts, but she manages to keep her composure when you speak. And then she looks at Boxer and she says, "What the frag? A talking dog?"
"If only you knew."
"I am not a dog! Let's go home, Boxer!" And then Nightingale turns and she like literally storms out. She pushes the door open with her magic, and this corona of magical energy takes the doorknob and like twists it loudly, and she shoves the door open and it just goes walking back out.
The door was locked.
It's locked?
Yep.
We're going to roll strength. Hold on. how strong is this door?
We'll just do an opposed roll.
Okay. For some reason it's not letting me roll with magic. How do I roll my magic? Does it not want me to do that? I guess I have to do what I did before. Fire. Oh, 6d6. A single hit.
All right.
And then that's the effective strength. Looking up
the barrier rating.
She critically glitched.
Oh, no.
So she like can't even unlock it. She's just like, she's magically pawing at the door, the lock basically, and like jiggling the knob. And
Haley like, hurries over and unlocks it for you. Says, "I'm sorry."
"Go ahead."
Just says, "I'm sorry," and she opens the door.
Nightingale like looks up and gives her a baleful glare, and then she just like marches out. That is very obviously not a dog in the way it walks, the way it's carrying itself. Like, my goodness. She just expects Boxer to follow her. "We need to talk
later, Kaylee, but I think I should stay with her for now. I'm sure you understand."
"It was you." "Yeah, okay. I didn't mean to be ignorant. I didn't recognize the meta sapience."
"Most people don't, so don't worry about it. Just make sure you get it right from now on."
She looks over at Dinder and says, "Well, what about that drink?" She gives you sort of a head-to-toe look.
"Sure, why not? Oh, Boxer, can I have my lighter back?"
She tosses to her.
Dinder, like, almost looks confused when the lighter is in her hands again, and then puts it away. She puts it in her pocket.
Grace and Boxer, you're walking back to the apartment. Boxer, roll your perception +3. Actually, you have a home turf bonus, don't you?
Yes. Can't remember quite.
Is that +2?
Let's see,
or is it more than that?
+2 to all active skill tests, so yeah. So would that be +5?
Just take the +2.
Should I also roll perception? Is this only for her?
Just Boxer. Boxer's on our home territory. And Boxer, you're noticing there are fewer people on the streets. There's a distinct tension that is sort of manifested by the fact that there are very few street vendors, and the people that are on the streets are seem to be hurrying to get off of them, either to get to work or back into their apartments. However, you make it back to your apartment without any kind of incident. Yinder, you and Kaylee leave the clinic, and Kaylee takes a moment to lock the clinic up. The lights stay on, and Kaylee looks at you, and she sort of holds out her hands and said, I don't know if we've ever been formally introduced. My name's Kaylee.
Stian Kalme, Demoiselle of Rhodes.
Ah, I see. Fancy.
Yeah, I guess somehow I got there.
You do live in the area, right? I believe I've seen you around with Boxer before.
Yeah, I live, and I kind of motion towards the street. I live that, the building I live in. It's not the... But I was my brother's before it, where it was mine.
Oh, yeah. What was your brother's name? Did I miss something?
Was.
No, I'm sorry.
Yes. My brother's name was Rian.
Rian, huh? He looks thoughtful for a moment. Oh, yeah. Rian. He does. I don't see a family resemblance, but I do remember Rian a couple of years ago used to live in this area.
Deandre pulls out her phone, her comlink, and scrolls through. This picture's 30 years old, and it's her and Rian. It's a picture of her and Rian standing next to each other at a birthday party, basically. And they're both, they both look smashed. And they're nearly identical in the picture. Deandre isn't green in the picture.
Kaylee looks at it as you guys are walking and says, wow, okay, yeah, I see the resemblance here, but that's... You look totally different now.
Well, actually, I still looked this way then. Cameras just don't like it.
Oh, it's like a magical effect?
I used to call it a biomagical effect, but I don't think anyone listens to me nowadays. So, what effect it is?
She's still looking at the picture and she says, yeah, this is the Rian that I knew. He did live here, so you're saying your brother died? I hadn't heard anything.
Seems no one has. But, that's a bit of a personal topic at the moment.
Well, yeah, sure, I understand. I didn't mean to pry into anything that was painful.
It's fine, I understand.
I did, I can tell you this. I guess I patched your brother up on more than one occasion.
From what I've recently learned about him, probably know why.
Okay, yeah. He was, I guess I shouldn't become as a surprise to you, seeing as how you and Boxer are running together, but he was, I don't know whether you knew, but he was, he operated in the shadows as well.
I, recently learned this too. Friend of mine.
Are you, am I understanding correctly that you are looking for him, or?
To be honest, I think at this point I'm more looking for the sword that has his blood on it, but...
Ah, I see. Quest for vengeance.
I don't know if it's developed quite to that yet, but very much like to see some semblance of justice.
Interesting. I myself have embarked on very recently on what appears to be the same sort of quest. I'm not sure how I feel about it right now.
If you want help burying a body, find me, I guess.
I think the evidence that you gave to Prokop tonight is actually the sword which will deliver that body. But like I said, I'm not exactly sure whether how I feel about the whole thing. You see, I think that evidence that you gave to Prokop is targeted at my genetic father.
Can't choose your family.
Well, I can tell you one thing. My family chose not me.
Ain't that the truth?
At this point, you guys are pulling up or getting close to Hazel's bar. And there's a bit of a crowd outside and some street vendors that are selling some food. And as you're getting closer... You are suddenly... What kind of perception... you don't have anything AR-wise, right, Dinder?
No, but if there's emotions in the area, since we're very near to my home, I can sense...
Okay.
It's part of symbiosis.
The emotions that you're sensing in this area are... There are the emotions that come out of, any bar. The desire... to get away from everything and forget everything and just have some fun, and all of the things that are mixed in with that, the anxiety and the insecurity and the anticipation and the happiness, the pleasure, the pain, all of that's coming out of the bar. Layered over that And you sort of realize now, as you've been walking back from Kaylee's clinic to the bar, layered over all that neighborhood, there's a sense of a heightened sense of anxiety and fear. And as you get close to the bar, within all of these emotions, you see a very fine line, a very fine red thread of anger and hatred. And at that moment, the bar explodes, literally. A massive explosion blows the entire front of the building out, engulfing the people in front of it. Street vendors' carts go flying through the air. Make a dodge test or a reaction test.
I think reaction would be better because I'd be defaulting on dodge. So reaction 2.
All right. The explosion doesn't... It catches you by surprise. You had been sort of perceiving the signatures around you and halfway looking at that and halfway concentrating on your conversation with Kaylee when the explosion happened. You instinctively duck out of the way of a food cart that comes flying towards you. Unfortunately, the food cart catches Kaylee. She's a little bit slower than you and carries her away, but you don't really have any time at this point to notice or really react to that because the blast, the debris, and the heat and the shockwave are knocking you off your feet. Make a body and agility test.
Body and agility. No modifiers?
No modifiers.
Okay. 3.
You dodged the cart, and in doing so, you managed to get yourself pretty well braced against the explosion as it blasts you. And now we're going to make a damage resistance test.
That's a body, right?
Yep.
I don't
add. We're going to call this basically a... this will be melee. Yeah, so roll. Do you have a melee skill?
I have blades. And I also have unarmed combat. Those are my melee skills.
Wow. In my fit of horse rage, I made a good call.
You made a good call.
Mm-hmm.
No, a good call was staying home.
Yeah, that was a better call. So you don't have dodge.
I actually don't have dodge, yes.
You don't have dodge?
No, I've been running without a dodge skill for the past.
You have melee and you don't use dodge.
Actually, you can use full defense on this if you want.
Okay, I'm going to full defense on it so I can use my unarmed combat skill.
Yep, plus dodge plus reaction.
Plus dodge is 0, so...
Although, you can also use your gymnastics in place of dodge sometimes.
That's true.
You said reaction? That's unarmed combat plus 5, which is 3.
Beandir, you're going to resist 12 points of physical damage at this point.
12 points of physical damage.
Sorry, AP.
Is that
no AP
or impact?
It's impact.
So I will impact 4, so I take 7, right? Or did you say 12 points of damage?
You take 7 physical?
I think so.
Yeah, so you dodged the food cart, you braced yourself against the blast, but unfortunately as you did that, the shrapnel flying out of the building and the various other physical items around just pummel you, and you end up with shrapnel wounds on your shoulder and your left side and your left leg, and then you're left standing in a fully devastated street, people screaming, everything sounds quiet, your ears are ringing.
This is not the first explosion Deandre has been in, so I think the absolute first thing that she does is draw her sword.
You draw your sword, fire, there's fire everywhere. People are screaming. Debris is still raining out of the sky. And you see Kaylee pinned beneath a food cart.
Deandre would rush and try to pick the food cart up off of Kaylee, or at least tip it off of her.
All right. That's where we will cut for the night.
Goddamn. Fucking humanus.
It's nice to be at home reading a book.
Yeah.
It's nice to be human.
It is nice. I hope my samples don't get damaged.
They left with ProCup.
Oh, that's good.
Just your friends and your roommate.
Listen, you got paid.
Cecile is burning the world down.
She doesn't know that, and she also doesn't care.
As long as she's not burning down with it, it's all good.
It's not her clinic.
That is a certified Cecile moment.
It's, I can't help but be a little bit excited, because now I get to play Deandera being unapologetically heroic, like dive into burning building to try to save people.
I don't know. I thought the ambush on the truck was pretty heroic.
I don't think that's what heroic means.
No?
I think that's a little more too gray to be heroic.
And also, Cecile didn't participate in that one either.
You have to be the damsel in distress, though. Congrats, Cecile.
It's amazing. Every time something has gone down, Cecile's just been like, you know what? I'm leaving. I don't want to be here. This seems like not where I should be.
This is icky.
She has the instinct.
Like, with the guy got his brain blew up, Van Housen, she was like, I'm going into the van, and I'm just staying here.
She has that instinct. We should all do what Cecile does.
This all seems eminently sensible to me. People's heads blowing up, I'm out of here.
I don't want to be here. I'm getting back in the van.
Anyhow, I am also going to go for the night, since apparently I have to get up a little earlier than I thought. I will see you later.
Good night, guys.
Oh, hold on.
Thanks, Stephanie. A college girl's curiosity, she started it all. The forgotten file of a dangerous game. Enough to steal from your run, trying to clear her name. Welcome to the Hard Knock Sorority, where tech collides with arcane sorcery. With a cyber edge, her claws cut deep, she walks the razor's ledge. Her from Equestria, tough yet kind, facing a world that's so unrefined. Dinner searches a path of pain, her brother's shadow in the icy rain. Procrust revenge of endeavor revealed. He's using Cecile as a weapon concealed. Welcome to the Hard Knock Sorority, where tech collides with arcane sorcery. Fighting for truth under neon lights, they'll rise together through endless nights. The sprawl's alive, the pulse beats cold. In Auburn's home, where souls are sold. Tacoma's tides and still homies feel the danger and darkness, the fate is sealed. College girl looks for the light she knew, but the shadows were there, she see it through. A mercenary's past, never falling behind, a pony seeking the truth, a man of humanity, and now an extra plus driving her to insanity. Welcome to the Hard Knocks.